Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. We're so excited you're tuning into one of our amazing messages. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, it's going to be real, and it's going to be powerful. It's going to help you to grow stronger in your walk with God. It's going to put faith on the inside of you. It's going to cause you to be able to walk in greater dimensions of blessing and enlargement so that you can be a blessing to other people. Well, lean in, enjoy the word. God bless you.
Right now, we're going to hear from two of my lovely friends, and I have specially invited the beautiful Katrina Crane and Jen Termino to come join me. Yes, we can stand and clap for these beautiful ladies. They both came all the way here tonight from Orange County to be with us.
So far.
And so...
You want me to come close?
Okay. Get situated.
I'm in a blonde sandwich.
She's in a blonde sandwich.
Yeah.
You're like a backwards Oreo, something like that. I wanted to invite these beautiful women because both of them know, and probably know, and after tonight will know, their husbands who are powerhouse, amazing men of God. And how many of us know that behind every powerhouse woman, or sorry, man, is a powerhouse woman?
Yes.
And so I look at the fruit of these two women's lives. And when you see something you want in another woman, and I've learned this so well in our church, that you admire, and it's okay to see things that you like and admire, but it's not okay to be jealous. I'm going to be preaching on that on Sunday.
Good.
But I see in these two women that they are so inspiring. And I've learned in this church to not let, when you see another woman that inspires you, not to let that discourage you, but actually take those things and look at the fruit of their life.
Wow.
Women like this and families like this don't get to where they're at today without hardships, without God moving in their life, without the hand of God on their life, without believing in faith for things. And I know specifically each one of them have at least one story of their own faith journey that we're going to dive into tonight. But the fruit is there. And they are incredible. How many of you know that the man is the head of the household, but the woman is the neck that turns the head? So, here we go. Oh, I need my phone, my questions. I wrote questions so that we can stay on track because how many of you know ladies like to chat? So we're just going to have a conversation. This is very casual, so everyone can sit back and relax, including you two. This is going to be fun. Everything has to be fun. So let's make it fun. So, okay, beautiful Jen Termino and beautiful Katrina Crane. I'm going to start with you, Katrina, who's married to the Rex Crane. Slaying the house down. Probably half of you in this place have gotten healed when he comes through and ministers. But like I said, behind every powerhouse man is a powerhouse woman. So beautiful Katrina, why don't you just give us some of your background, how you met, how many kids you have, all that fun stuff.
I'd love to, and I love you, Pastor Michaela. You're a powerful woman, and I'm so honored to be here tonight. Thank you for inviting me. So the story of Rex is a speaker here. I'm sure some of you have heard him. The way we met was I was a creator of a women's magazine with my sister, and we had heard his story that he walked away from a professional baseball career to his calling. And we thought that was so inspiring, and we wanted to feature him in our magazine. And the way we heard about that story was he was a guest speaker at my church. And during that time, I was going through a difficult time, and he would preach and then pray for people after sick people. And my dad made me go up to get prayer. And Rex was there, and I didn't tell him what was wrong with me, but he spoke a really powerful prophetic word that was going to help me get through what I was going through. I had a heart disease, and I'll share a little bit about it more in a different question, but that was something that changed my life. And little did I know, or he know, that fast forward to 6 years later, I would ask him for an interview, and we were talking.
Interview?
No. Well, it was my sister's idea, and then I was the interviewer, and then he was so intrigued by my story and how I met him before, and he kept calling back, and my sister...
Interested in your story.
Yes, sure. I know, my sister's like, I think he likes you. And I was like, no way. I had just turned 24, and I was like, he's old. He was 9 years older than me at 24. Anyone over 30 is like way too old. So, but we really connected, and I was living in Vancouver, Canada. He was living in Los Angeles, and we met in Seattle in the middle at his friend's house, and it was an instant connection. And we fell in love really quick in 3 months, and then married in 6. Wow. Yes, when you know, you know.
That's a word, ladies. When you know, you know.
The word for someone. And so within 3 years of marriage, we had a surprise baby, Kira. So we have one child. She's a miracle child. And for 13 years, we've been in ministry, speak in businesses, and we've just had a really fun, adventurous journey of ups and downs. But I'm so thankful for him because he's my best friend, and he's still my dream man.
Oh, so cute!
I was joking around with Rex in the back. I'm like, you know that you're more obsessed than Katrina than she is with you. Be honest. He was not very happy about that.
Yeah. This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, beautiful Jen, tell us about you.
Okay, so I met Anthony right after I turned 17. And I
was, wait, 1 second.
Yeah.
I'm giving everyone frame of reference. So Anthony Tramino is who is going to be our next governor. In Jesus' name. So, you are so humble that I didn't know if you were going to say that, okay. But I just had to put it out there. So, go ahead.
Okay. So, yes, that Anthony. I was right before my senior year of high school, and I got a job at Jennifer Convertibles. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the sofa bed store. And I was in training in Beverly Hills, and that was his store. And we have a little, slightly different versions of the story, but I was sitting in training, and he came in late to work, and he saw me in the back of the room, and actually came up to introduce himself to everyone, but just came to me. And we had our moment in front of the whole training team, and then went on our first date and absolutely did not like each other. Opposite. He was also a little bit older, and he showed up like in cowboy boots.
How much older is he?
He's just a couple years older.
Okay.
But to me, in high school, I was like, the only guy I knew that wore cowboy boots was my dad. So he showed up. Now I love cowboy boots. I wear them whenever I can. But he showed up like that. It wasn't a great date. But then the second date was awesome. He took me to my prom. So, and now we have 5 kids. We've been married in June. We'll be married 25 years.
So good. That is definitely something we're celebrating, especially this day and age.
It is, especially when so many people around us, like we were the couple that everybody was like, they're never going to make it, you know. She's like 18, you know. So, yeah, we'll be 25
years. I love it. So, for my husband and I, we were told we weren't going to make it. Well, I didn't like him. First of all, I didn't like him. So I have that similarity with you. I didn't like him till like, I don't know, maybe a year after we were married. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. After like the second date. And like Katrina, we are also almost 10 years apart. So I mean, we got married really fast. So these are like the keys to good marriages, I guess. You don't like him at first, and then he's older, and then yeah. So, okay. Let's move on. Let's get serious now. Here we go. Okay. I'll go with Jen. I want to know, what is your most powerful God moment to date?
Okay. So it kind of goes back to the beginning of our story. Again, we were both very young, and maybe a year and a half into our relationship, I found out I was pregnant, and it was like every, you know, it was not good in all the families, but God used it for good. So we moved out on our own, very young, pregnant, walking a subway to like, as my job, you know, and just, we had very humble beginnings. I know he has shared part of that story as well, but we decided we should probably go to church, and we heard of a church in Los Alamitos, Cottonwood, and we went to their big Easter event, and we had rededicated our lives because we had been saved when we were younger, but didn't walk that walk for a while. And so I was about 8 months pregnant at the time. We have my son, Christian, and we decided to go on our first outing when he was 2 months old, and we came down to San Diego. And we were decided to get something to eat. I'm in the back of the little minivan with my son, and he wasn't moving. And so, oh my gosh, I don't tell this story often, but so he wasn't moving. I was messing with him and trying to get him to move, no reaction, nothing. And so Anthony says I let out the worst scream he's ever heard in his life. And so he pulled over, we're at a gas station, I jump out of the car, and just being, I guess, newly saved, I was just yelling, like, Jesus, 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 save my son. And to this day, when I think back on it, I remember him standing there. Like, if I wish someone could draw it for me, because I remember him standing there. And I could see Anthony in the car, like, pulling Christian out of the seat, and holding him up, and I didn't know what was going on because that was his version of what was happening, but nobody would help us. It was literally like the Twilight Zone. Wow. We were in a gas station. People were just walking by. He yells for me. I get back in the car. I drive to a payphone, get on the payphone, call 911. She's not listening to me. She's laughing in the background with, a coworker. Still my son. This is like a long time. No reaction. In the meantime, I find out that Anthony's in the car trying to, like, give him CPR, do everything that you're not supposed to do on a two-month-old, pinching him, doing everything. And on the payphone, I looked up, and there was a cross. And it happened to be Mercy Hospital. And I literally got in the car and followed the cross to the hospital. And the entire time we're praying, and we ran in, hand over the baby. And that's when I first saw Christian. She grabbed him, and he just went, and woke up. Anthony noticed, his story's a little different. He noticed something in the car. But I feel like I saw resurrection. Like, I know my son wasn't there anymore. He wasn't blue. I mean, he was just lifeless. And I saw Jesus breathe life back into him. So wow. I feel like everything after that, it's like,
wow.
Yeah. So that was a divine.
Come on, yes. It's incredible. Powerful.
I remember when Jen and Anthony told my husband and I that story, and I was like, oh my goodness, now I can see why the fruit of this woman's life is faith, because the faith that she exercise in that moment and had to go after and go to God with, it's like you just ended that with, like, nothing is impossible because you've seen that. That is so incredibly powerful. Okay, Katrina, your turn.
So good.
The most powerful God moment to date.
Well, I've had several of them because I've walked through a lot of hard things. That's why I wrote a book. So you can read all about them in the book. But the one I felt led to share tonight was when I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with a rare heart disease. And this was devastating to me because I was just trying to figure out who I was as a young lady, and I wasn't doing that well in school. So I didn't feel very good about this diagnosis. Nobody wants their life interrupted with that. And so what had happened was my aortic root, which is the biggest artery that pumps blood to the rest of your body, the walls of it were so thin, and it kept growing and growing. And over the course of 3 years, they said, if you don't get open heart surgery, that piece is just going to erupt and you'll instantly die. So I was told this at 18 years old. And so I just graduated high school. All my friends were planning their future, and I had this life and death scenario. And this was the moment I met Rex, when he prayed for me for the first time, and he gave me a word. And he basically told me that God's going to help me walk through whatever I was facing, and he didn't know what I was facing. So it was hard because I'd watched so many people get instant miracles, and I was like, I want that for myself, but it was at a point that it was so critical I had to get something done, otherwise I could just drop dead. And so in that moment when I decided I would go through with the surgery, I remember surrendering to God and saying, I don't understand. It's not fair that I have this and why I need to go through this, but I'm going to surrender to you and trust you. And I remember that was such a liberating moment because of the way God carried me through. So the night before surgery, I went to the doctors and they made me sign papers and told me all the ways I could die. The surgeon said that he's done surgeries for 30 years and he's only done a handful of the surgeries that I needed. So that was very hopeful. But I'm like, I'm gonna trust God. I signed the papers that they weren't liable if I die. And I remember he gave me sleeping pills to take, and that night I read my Bible and I prayed with a surrendered heart, and I felt this peace come over me. It was a tangible peace. It was supernatural. That's all I can say. In that moment, I knew this is what people felt when they were facing death. Even people I thought, like, they get a gun put to their head and they're like, do you believe in Jesus? And they say yes. I'm like, how could they, you know, that's incredible. They must have felt this peace and this, like, I trust you, God, even though I'm facing death. So to this day, that was the best sleep of my life. I never took the sleeping pills. I didn't need to. So the next morning, my parents brought me to the hospital. And as I was going to the OR room, I told my parents that I left them the letter to encourage them. And I was asked to go up on my own operating room table. And I remember in the room, there was a lot of nurses running around, big machinery, and just it started to feel really intimidating. And as I lay there and I was getting the IV put in me to sedate me, I remember saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And just like that, I was out, and that's the last thing I remember. And so it was a 6-hour surgery. They stopped my heart for 3 hours. They drilled through my ribs. They had to cut the whole root of my aorta out and the aortic valve, and they couldn't believe I was still alive. The disease was so bad. And when they started my heart again, it started right away, and it was a success. And I learned that it was a long road of recovery, and I learned that no matter what in life, as a young woman, I'm like, I can face anything if God walks through with me. And I felt like tonight, some of you might be in a valley season in your life, but He, in your darkest moments, if you trust Him and surrender, He will use the thing that was meant to take you out, and He will give you a better life, something beyond you could imagine on the other side. And I did want to say this too, that God never causes the pain because He's a good father. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, you know, why we walk through things. Jesus said that we would have to walk through things in life. But it's a beautiful story that in all that, 6 years later, I
told Rex my story, and he was so inspired, and he's like, who is this? And he was one of the fruits of me trusting God, and it was a special connection in our story.
Wow. Come on. How good is God? So beautiful. And what I even just learned, kind of talking through this before we came out, in hearing both of those stories, is that God can do a miracle in an instant, and God can sometimes take some time to move a miracle. Yeah. And we cannot let doubt creep in. If we are in the middle of something and God's trying to get something to us, trying to shift something in our head, like clearly had to happen with me, has to shift something in our heart. And those moments, just like Katrina said, is where you have to lean in and trust God. I love that God can shift something. Like someone here, I know many people during worship got healed tonight. I know that God showed me that, and that is your healing, and that's your miracle to walk out of this place with. Others of us, God is still working a miracle in our life, and our job is to not lose the faith in those moments when the enemy is trying to take you out. Okay, moving on. We have a couple more questions. So, Katrina, I know you touched a little bit. Did you want to add anything to that on how do you keep your faith strong?
Sure. One of the most powerful things to keep your faith strong is always going back to what did God say in his word? And the enemy's goal is to always steal the word out of you. He wants you to live in your emotions, your feelings, the opinions, everything going on in the world. And in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. And so we are in a fight, and we can't play passive with the enemy. So we need to be aggressive in speaking the word and not let him steal it out of our life. It's so important to live that way.
Amen. And speaking of everything going on in the world, so you may not know this, and I secretly know, but now I'm letting the world know, is that, so Anthony Tremino, who was the loudest voice in his ear? Jen, you'll know the answer to this. Who was the loudest voice in his ear when he decided to make a stand and run for governor?
Me.
Amen. Come on. Give her a hand. Woman of faith right here, encouraging her man. Because she saw, Mama Bear saw what's happening in the world around us and said, it's time for us to stand. And God has called a couple. God does not always just call the man or the woman. Oftentimes, God calls a couple. And this is such a beautiful time and season that we get to live in because we have women and men of God like these two that are rising up to fight the good fight of faith. And so, Jen, I want to ask you, despite what's going on in the world, how do you remain hopeful?
Well, like I was telling you, I feel like we need to really constantly remember that we know how the story ends. Yeah. Like really tangibly, is like she's sitting next to me. The journey's not always easy, and there's some really crazy things out there that we had probably couldn't even have imagined. But we have to know we do win. Like it does. We know the ending, so we need to just focus on Jesus as we're going through, because we know how it ends. And then also too, there are times, especially that the season we're in, I do, like I'll wake up, I have like a little anxiety because I don't know what everything looks like. There's a lot going on, but I'm so freaking excited. Like, like we were placed in this moment in time for a reason. Like I wouldn't want to live in any other time. Like I want to be a part of what God's doing right now, whatever that is. Even if it's like, I'm just raising my kid to love Jesus. Whatever it is, like we are so blessed that we got chosen to be alive right now. And it makes me excited, even though it's scary and there's so many things going on. I'm just like, this is awesome. Like you chose us. So we all have a role. We all have a role. Nobody is exempt from what's happening, you know, in any part of this. And like, come on, let's do this.
Let's do this. Come on, ladies, let's do this.
Let's do this.
What I love about Jen is I know the weight that she carries in supporting her husband's campaign and all the work that takes. And
there's not a day I haven't seen her not showing up smiling. Like every, she is the chin up prophetess. Every time she walks in a room, she's smiling and lifts the room. And I really believe that's why God has called you to, for such a time as this, to step into that role as governor and governess of San Diego and California. Okay. Tell us how you two both need to answer this question. How do you support your powerful husbands? I forgot who was supposed to answer first.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is that the last question?
Are you out of order?
I'm out of order, apparently. Which question would you like to answer? Okay, give us your best advice regarding marriage and parenting, both of you.
Do you want to share on parenting? You have a lot more kids than I do.
Parenting. Something that I definitely had to learn, but be a team. Because, you know, I have struggled with that because you almost go like mama bear and like want to protect a situation. And I grew up like that where my mom was like super protective. And it's so much better if you're a team. Even if you're not agreeing like later when you talk about it, but that the kids see a united team and that you are on the same page as how you're going to handle situations. And I think they really need to see that. And then with marriage, I feel like you need to date. Amen. Anthony, like we've been married 25 years. We had, 08 was a very tough year for us. And what came out of that was weekly dating, and our kids were a lot younger. And it didn't matter if they were like crying, hanging on my leg. The babies, like someone was going to watch them every Tuesday night, even if we sat in the car and ate and watched a movie like on the phone. We did. So yeah, you have to make that time no matter what. Don't feel guilty about it. You have to do it.
I love that. You mentioned, and I maybe forgot to ask you the question, can you dive into the 08, the season of 2008? A little bit, because I know you told me about that, but I want these ladies to hear that.
Okay, I'll try to do it.
Gears, sorry.
08 was just a really tough year for us, for our marriage, our family, my dad passed away. It was just a really hard year, and I was pretty much like on my face with the Lord most of that year. It's when we got really, really close. And in that time, I learned that I was in a lot of pain, probably for a long time, but like she said, I was always smiling. On the outside, I would go and lead a group at Bible study and just be like, "Yeah," but it wasn't. I really wasn't smiling, you know. It was just a facade. And the Lord just brought me on my face and was basically doing that is selfish. It's selfish. Like we think we're doing it for us, but it's selfish. When we would sit at a women's group, one woman would have to say, "Actually, my marriage isn't so good," and then the whole table is like, "Me too, me too." Mm-hmm. So. Holding back and doing that facade is selfish. And I was living that way and it was being selfish. And so in journaling and on my face that year, he gave me Then Jesus, which is a bold testimonial ministry. And, you know, my shirt, you guys can look into it, but my shirt is weak. It says weak. And it's basically I'm wearing my testimony so bold on my shirt that people are like, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Let me tell you." Because people are drawn to negative words. So they would see my shirt. They're like, "What does it mean? Weak or addict or whatever?" I'm like, "Oh, let me tell you about Jesus." So you draw them in. You suck them in.
Addicts, then Jesus.
Yeah. The back says then Jesus. I'd be like, but he released me. It was freedom. And I think freedom and justice has just been something that I want, like that's been a part of me since I was little. And it set me free. And now it set others free. And yeah.
Thank you. I wanted them to hear about that season because the whole, when we come into Cherish Conference, the whole theme of it is the promises of God are yes and amen. So that's the overriding theme of the conference. Yet we know that there's always a process and a journey. Yet we always know there are moments in our life that are not, you don't have your chin up because it feels good. You have your chin up because literally you are prophesying over your body that you will keep your head held high in the midst of a storm. And so I wanted her to share that because it was perfect leading up to our Cherish Conference. Okay, Katrina, beautiful yes. Katrina, yes. Tell me which question you wanted to answer.
Well, you said parenting or marriage. So.
Okay, do that, yes. Marriage.
Okay, I'll do merch.
Oh, yes.
All right.
This is good. This is good.
Is this the closing one?
Okay. Well, the question is, how do you support your powerful husband? And so I went to Rex and I said, hey, I want to know how I support you to be powerful. And his first answer was, well, let her breast satisfy you at all times.
See, he's been interested in you since the interview.
Yes.
Magazine interview.
He claims it's his favorite verse. And you know what? I said, no, I am not sharing that. Because every woman already knows men love sex. So that's a given. I don't need to share that. So then I said, I need a better one. I need something else. And then he said something more helpful. And it was, that he said, I create a home for him that's easy and playful. And our relationship isn't about conflict. We're not always in conflict. It's about creation. And so it's a nice place for him to look forward to coming home after helping the world. He knows when he comes home, it's a place of rest, and he gets refreshed, and we joke, we, you know, hold hands, slap each other's butts. He tells me funny answers. So that was from him. So create a home of rest.
I love that. Both of those are equally valuable. Have sex with your husbands and create a home of rest. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so last question. Ready?
Yes.
And then we're going to have some ministry time afterwards. So if there's anything that we've talked about tonight, we want to make sure that nobody leaves the same way they came in. Mm-hmm. And so if there's anything that's touched you tonight, or you're just like, I need to lean into God for that, we are going to have our ministry team up here at the end. But as the last question, it's going to be, wait, you said, you already said, how do we support your powerful husbands?
And then a marriage tip.
Oh, a marriage tip.
Yes.
Okay. Same question in my opinion. But give us your best marriage advice.
You came up with the questions.
I know, but you confused me. Go ahead.
Okay, a marriage tip. So another marriage tip is, to break generational dysfunction and don't normalize it in your marriage. And I wanted to share this quick story to let you know how I did that in my own life and might help you. So when Rex and I were first married, we lived on the beach in Los Angeles. And to walk to coffee shops or restaurants, it took it was like a mile and a half to walk. And there was a park on the way that Rex asked me never to walk alone at night because everything you heard about LA is true. There's a lot of sketchy things going on at the park. There, you know, like homeless people come out. And so he had good reason to say, please don't, you know, I love you too much. So one night after dinner, we got into an argument. And in my family, after argument, you become passive aggressive, you run away, and you punish the other person. So I was like, I'm gonna punish Rex, and I'm gonna go for a walk. I'm gonna go walk by myself in the night to go get a coffee. So I literally got two blocks, and a homeless man came up to me and spat in my face and said something really nasty. And I immediately turned around and started to cry, and I ran home. And when I was home, Rex was so merciful. He was there saying, "What's wrong? What happened, babe?" And he had his arms around me. And in that moment, I knew that we were a team, like you said. And I was like, I don't want to live this way. I don't want my marriage to repeat what I saw. I didn't want to run away, be passive aggressive. And in that moment, I said, God, help me to break this, because I don't want to live this way. And God taught me better ways to deal with arguments. And I haven't ran away ever since.
Good job, Katrina.
Yes.
Did you have anything you wanted to finish us off with?
Maybe something for if you're not married yet. And I tell my kids this because they're older and they're dating and stuff.
Yikes, I need to talk to you for like 5 hours about that.
Yeah.
I am so scared of that season.
Oh my gosh, you hover.
Cancel.
You hover. I'll tell you all the tactics.
Okay.
But is your spouse or your future spouse is not your mission field. So I tell them that all the time. You need to find someone not that you're going to try to rescue and, find someone like-minded that you go walk into it together and not, because then together you go out into the mission field and they're your spouse is not, ahead of time, that's not your mission field, so.
I love that. So good. I just remembered this story because you were sharing that story. And
please share.
I don't know if you guys have heard that Pastor Katie Yeager and Mike won't care. She won't care that I'm sharing this with you. It's like public information now. But her and her husband were having a conflict, which healthy marriages have conflicts. Yeah. Unless you have, what was your word? The C word? That you use? Creation. Yes, I really liked that. I'm going to change my conflict to creation. But they were having creation and, oh wait, not that kind though. Like they were actually fighting. Wow. They were actually fighting. And so she's pregnant right now. This is like 2 weeks ago. She's pregnant and she's like stomps out the house and she gets on her bike and she like goes for a bike ride. Well, she crashes on her bike. And she, same kind of thing, she, because Mike kept saying, don't go by yourself, I don't want you to go by yourself. And they live in a really safe place, but she was so stubborn and mad that she went out by herself and crashed on her bike. And then the next morning she had to come to my husband's office and get adjusted and get all fixed up. But I mean, God is just so funny. It's like when we be little brats, he totally comes in and is like, you know what, girl? Get yourself in order.
Yeah.
Amen. Why don't we give these ladies a huge hand? Thank you so much for being with us. You're beautiful and amazing. If I can just have everyone stand to your feet as we come to a close, there's just a couple things that I wanted to kind of lean in on tonight and tie together Pastor Leanne's beautiful message. And I know for myself, I love that Katrina talked about those generational things that come up. And I want to tell you, like, God deals with these things in layers. And there are some seasons where you'll notice more things coming up that you thought you dealt with than other seasons. And there are times in my life where I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally went to Dr. Brian about a year ago and I walked in and I'm like, don't you tell me, I'm paying you $200. Don't you tell me this is another daddy issue. I don't want to hear about another daddy issue. I'm done. I spent too much money. And sure enough, daddy issue. So I want to let you know that those things will come up in layers and God will deal with things in layers. And there is never a time where we have it all together. And I love when Jen spoke into that and said, when we put a smile on our face and it's fake, there's one thing to prophetically smile and put your chin up when you don't feel like it, to tell your body that you have control over your body, your mind, and your spirit. But it's another thing to purposely hide and try to push things under the rug and say, what? That wasn't me. I never had that. What are you talking about? I'm so awesome. Listen, we want all of you to think you're awesome. Like, clearly we're a bold and courageous group of women, but it is not in our own strength. It's completely in the strength of our Lord and Savior. And we cannot be the women that God's called us to be if we are pretending that we are okay when we're not. And so I want to have the ministry team come forward right now, and the worship team is going to play. And yes, we have an epic party in the lobby, but God can move quick. I mean, you can get your breakthrough and then party, okay? So the ministry team is a beautiful group of women who are here for you, to stand with you, to pray with you for your breakthrough tonight. And if there's anything that God's highlighting to you, I want you to come forward and get breakthrough in that area. We are the type of church, and Pastor Leanne and the Cherish Ministry are the type of church that we want to see transformation in your life. We want to see you be the best version that God's created you to be. We want to see you living without insecurity. We want to see you living in faith and knowing that, yes, there may be a circumstance, but I serve a God that's bigger than that circumstance. Amen. Amen. So can everyone just lift their hands? I'm just going to say a quick prayer, and then we'll open up the altar for ministry time. Father God, I thank you for your presence in this room tonight. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your precious Son, Jesus, that died on a cross so that we can be set free, that we can live the life that you've called us to live. I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking to women in this room tonight, God, that as they come forward, that it might take a step of courageousness, it might take a step of boldness to come to the altar tonight. I come against unforgiveness. Okay. I come against unforgiveness. I come against bitterness. I come against the lies of the enemy. I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of your daughter is made in your precious image tonight, God. And I claim right now that a spirit of boldness would come arise in your women, that we are mama bears in this city, that you are going to use San Diego and the Cherish Ministry to reach the nation and the world, God. I thank you for our beautiful pastor, that you continue to give her wisdom, continue to elevate her voice and her authority in our city, God, and beyond. Lord, I thank you for these ladies tonight that have come, and that your precious Holy Spirit would minister to us tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And the ladies said, amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.